From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Kristen Johnston Largen.
This is Kristen Johnston Largen here with the Reverend Eric Schaefer, who we had with us before talking about issues around religion and media. And this week, we are going to talk about specifically interfaith issues. This is something, Eric, that both you and I care deeply about and have a lot of interest and some experience in. And the way in which different religious traditions are portrayed in the media, but then also the way that they use media technologies. I think this is a really rich rich topic for us to talk about. So let's just open it up and go ahead and start.
Sure, that's great. Yes, I am very interested in this topic, and especially I recently completed 4 years on the staff at Odyssey Networks in New York City, and before that was on their board. I've been associated with Odyssey for their whole 25-year experience. Odyssey Networks is the largest multi-faith media coalition in North America. It used to be the religion partner of the Hallmark Channel. Mm-hmm. Some of your listeners will remember the Vision Network and Faith and Values Network. It's the same group now without the cable channel. And while I was on the staff, we expanded from Christians and Jews and then Muslims. We expanded from the Abraham faiths. We opened the door to the Eastern faiths. Baha'i and Krishna joined as faith groups, and then a whole bunch of faith-related organizations related to Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, and now I'm forgetting the other words. But anyway, we had the whole panoply, and that was a really wonderful experience to find the commonality of world religions, because I think in interfaith we have to say again and again and again that we have so much more in common than we have different. Unfortunately, and this is where we get to the betrayal in the media can sometimes, and I don't want to be too hard on the media because we can talk about how that gets that way, right, but can sometimes portray religion at its worst.
Yeah, absolutely.
The extremes, the extremes of the right and sometimes the left wing within the major religions of the world that, you know, I hope our listeners know that those young men who did the terrible work on 2001 on September 11th did not represent Islam.
Right.
There was an aberration of Islam. And we Christians can't go too far, unfortunately, in critique of that without looking at our own history.
That's
and some
right.
of the terrible things that have been done, especially to Jews and to Muslims in the name of Christianity, historically and unfortunately even more recently.
That's right.
So I think that, to try, again, in our last interview, you and I talked about being the half-full glass. I actually think in interfaith relations, it's 90% full.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I think that, and getting back to other topics, the clergy and leaders in our Lutheran church and our Christian church had better be ready, had better be involved in interfaith work, because that's the world we're living in.
Right.
And younger people especially live in that world every day.
Right.
And they don't expect that world to be a lot different in their faith life.
Right.
They have their own faith, and they're proud of it, as you and I are proud of being Christians.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they would like also their faith to honor other faiths.
That's right. Yeah. And, of course, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's part of the work that I do here. And I think, for me, it's a question of authority in some ways also in terms of, you mentioned the Baha'i. So I think, oh, I don't know what the Baha'i faith teaches. Where am I going to go to find that out? And, you know, we all start with Wikipedia, right, and go from there. And for me, the danger comes, and this is particularly, I mean, we could spend this whole time talking about Islam, because I think no religious tradition has borne the brunt of negative portrayals in the media as much as Islam.
In recent years.
Judaism. Well, fair enough.
In
recent years. In the context, and today, I mean, I would say today that's true. And so when people start to go looking, who are they, whose advice are they seeking? Whose knowledge are they seeking? And so for me, part of what I think is really important is I'd like their pastor or their public minister to be someone who has if not knowledge, him or herself can direct people to and say, yes, this exploration is okay, and maybe we as a congregation should go visit a mosque and do some of that kind of work. Because that's and then the other side of the coin, I think, is I mean, this is kind of a weird thing to say, but the over-positive portrayals of, for example, Buddhism, right? And so a lot of Christians think, oh, Buddhism is this wonderful philosophy that I can sort of do as a Christian, right?
Sure.
And,
you know, so... Or Native American religion.
Oh, right, you know, exactly.
And that's not to put down either Buddhism
no,
or Native
of course
American religion.
Not.
We're not saying that, but you're right. There are some... Well, we can go a thousand directions here.
Yeah,
let's,
right.
Let's go in a couple. Well, first of all... And you know this, but and it's important to emphasize to our listeners.
Right.
Rule number one in interfaith, ecumenical interfaith relationship is that Mormons speak for Mormons, Lutherans
right.
speak for Lutherans, Muslims speak for Muslims, Jews speak for Jews. And that's actually been an issue for us in the past, that sometimes, you know, when I was at the ELCA, we did Understanding Islam video, and I said to Tim Frakes, who was my video producer, and he agreed, we can't just go down the street to LSDC and talk to the Christian Islam scholar.
Right.
We have to find a Muslim Islam scholar to talk to,
right.
And we did.
Right.
So, first of all, that's one answer, though, to your question.
Right.
Who speaks for the Baha'i? The Baha'i do.
Sure.
And we also know that Wikipedia...
Yeah, right.
There's errors there.
Right.
And I don't know if our listeners know this, and maybe you don't either, that Wikipedia's write-up on Odyssey Networks is wrong, and Odyssey Networks can't correct it. Because Wikipedia has a rule that from within your organization
yeah.
or faith, you can't correct it.
Right.
So if there's something wrong about Baha'i or Islam or Christianity on Wikipedia... People from those faiths can't correct it.
Right, yeah.
Anyway,
sure.
It's a good resource, but it's not...
No, yeah, right, of course.
And, well, it's interesting because for that very reason, Christian Science has people all over the country whose original marching orders were to respond to the distortions of Christian Science in the media.
Really?
They actually... And there's I'm drawing a blank on their name, but their name kind of hints of that. They are the local public relations person, but it's more than that, because Christian Science, like Jehovah's Witness,
yeah.
has been portrayed very negatively in the
sure.
media over the years.
Sure.
And so Christian Science actually organized people, has people around the country to kind of be the person, so that, again, so Christian Science speaks for Christian Science.
Yeah, right.
You know, and not someone else who's and of course the tension is always the ex-person.
Right.
You know, should an ex-Amish person speak for the Amish?
Yeah.
Talk about something here in
right.
Pennsylvania.
Right.
And I think we have to listen to those who feel abused or taken advantage of, and not that Amish people, ex-Amish feel abused, but just as an example of any kind. Ex-Mormons, for example.
Right.
I mean,
right.
sure, we need to talk to some of those folks, but then we need to talk to the people that are very happy with Mormonism.
Right, and, of course.
You know, Mormonism is, you know, maybe next to Islam, Mormonism is the religion, at least until Romney's campaign, that got portrayed so negatively in the media by non-Mormons.
Yep.
And I think, you know, if you get a little bit underneath Mormonism, you find that the whole specter of politics is there.
Yeah.
And, you know... there was recently a website about immodest Mormon women. I mean, all kinds of things, you know, to kind of, and these women started it to kind of just tweak the public perception, for
sure.
example.
Sure.
To say Mormon women are like everybody else.
Yeah.
Mormon
right.
men are like everybody else. They have
right.
a whole gamut of modesty to immodesty,
right.
and everywhere in between, and good and bad, and all that in between.
Right.
And, you know, so I think, it's so easy, though, when someone in extreme view does something to assume that all Muslims are terrorists,
right.
for example,
right.
or all Mormons are polygamists, or all
right.
Mormons are right-wing Republicans.
Right.
Henry Reid, I don't think.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
yeah
so, I mean,
right, right,
I mean,
right.
So, I mean, I think, you know, so
right.
I think you, you know... Or that all Christians are judgmental.
Yeah, of course.
Certainly there are a lot of younger people that think that right now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
right.
but you and I could be introducing to a lot of others. And
sure.
So I think that, you know, but it's a challenge. There's
yeah.
no question.
Well, and I think here, the other problem often is, and we talked about, I think in the maybe I was just thinking about it. I'm not sure if we actually brought it up in our last conversation or not, but the issue of authenticity, you know, which is such a hot kind of hot button now in terms of what carries weight and whose voices, again, are do people listen to, especially the nuns, N-O-N-E's, like you had, you know, mentioned before, is when someone has a personal experience. I have found, again, that if someone has had a negative personal experience with a Muslim, you know, someone's coming back from their son was deployed or their daughter was deployed in Afghanistan or Iraq and comes back with some negative stories. It's very hard to talk beyond or expand upon that experience. And I think so for me, there's this issue of how do we encourage wider exposure. So, and the media can do that in great ways. I mean, also in negative ways. I know a colleague that we both have, Dr. Mary Hess, who teaches in this area at Luther Seminary. She's talked about, you know, one way that people often will use media is to reinforce their own beliefs. And so they surround themselves with conversation partners who believe the same things they do. And I tend to be guilty of that. I like to see my views reflected in other people. But then when you do that, you know, you're not able to sort of be challenged and stretched in some positive ways. And I think especially when it comes to these issues around interreligious dialogue, where people are really sensitive, right, and they feel like there's a lot at stake, they sort of go to the computer, to the internet, looking to have their views reinforced. And so what are the ways that we can kind of expand and encourage people to do more than that?
Well, and now we're getting a little bit back into the communication discussion, because you're right. The world has changed. You know, the idea of 40 years ago when everyone sat down and listened to Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, right.
And now they get their news, if they're liberal, from CNN.
That's
or
right.
If they're left-wing from MSNBC, if they're right-wing from Fox.
Right.
I mean, and so you're right. If you and I wanted to look at a media portrayal of a fair portrayal of Islam, we probably wouldn't turn on Fox News.
Right.
Now, that may be unfair.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch Fox News.
Yeah, me either. Right.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
And to assume that CNN would be fair to Muslims and Fox wouldn't, that may be true. I'd have to check that out.
Sure.
It's easier now because of media to surround yourself with only, you know, I mean, you can watch 24 hours of golf. You can watch 24 hours.
Why anyone would want to do that, but yeah.
My wife loves Spend Money TV. Is that HGTV? That's what I call it, Spend Money TV. I mean, you can watch 24 hours of Spend Money TV. You can watch 24 hours of fill in the blank.
Right.
Of Honey Boo Boo. Not 24 hours, fortunately.
Yeah,
Actually, Honey Boo Boo's family life is actually a fairly positive family life, believe it or not.
I wouldn't know.
Parents love their kids, clearly.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I mean,
yep.
But I mean, you know, but again, the stereotype is.
Right.
Where do we see a positive portrayal of Muslims on television these days? You know, the American Muslim on the cable channel didn't last long.
Right. That's
you know,
right.
And there was some controversy about why advertisers pulled out.
Yep.
They claimed that it was just because it was not doing well, and some claimed that but where do we see the positive portrayal of people of faith generally?
Because
we see many Christians, especially Christian ministers, as caricatures on TV.
Yep.
Understand that the woman on the Mindy Project is dating a Lutheran pastor. It's positive.
I don't watch that show.
I haven't seen it. Facts wrong, but a pastor at least.
Oh, interesting.
And it's positive. You know, I think, and again, maybe that's where people of faith of all faiths have got to then try to support the positive portrayals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I loved the show of 10 years ago, Nothing Sacred, about the Catholic priest.
Oh, okay.
Didn't watch it. You know, but people didn't watch it. So you can't complain about
Right.
A show that gives a positive view of Roman Catholics. Well, you know, there's millions of Roman Catholics in this country, but obviously they weren't watching.
Yeah.
And
right.
so, um, you know, Some of this is our own fault.
That's right.
If we watch crap,
yeah,
we will get more crap.
That's definitely true.
And so where can we find those positive portrayals? And I guess as someone that cares about interfaith, I don't see too many of them.
Yeah.
Where are positive portrayals of Jews on TV? I'm trying to think where they might be.
Yeah.
I see a lot of stereotypes.
Yeah.
I've
mentioned this before. I mean, I think this is a real danger. Like you had said earlier in the program that people want their faith to mirror in a positive way the diverse experience that they have in the
young
rest
people,
of their
yeah.
life.
Young
yeah,
people,
yeah, right,
I,
right.
I'm afraid that some older people want the fortress.
Well, yeah, that could be.
But I mean, we are making some generalizations about younger and older that are dangerous too.
Right,
but
right.
But I mean, you're right. I think.
But so where I was gonna go with that is I think the other problem, which as we were just trying to think about examples on television right now, the real danger is faith just gets marginal.
That's right.
And it's just seen
anything,
as something that's...
Everything.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's
that
right.
It's just seen as something entirely irrelevant.
Irrelevant or occasionally something that starts a war.
Right.
Where we almost are.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And now, again, I'm not a woe-is-us person. Since advertising controls broadcast and cable television, we have something to say about that.
Yeah, that's true.
If we wanted quality program and asked for it, we would get it.
Yep.
And there are positive portrayals of religion on TV. Tom Selleck's show about the police commissioner in New York, Blue Bloods.
Oh, yeah.
They are a Roman Catholic
that's
family.
Right.
They pray before every meal.
My mom loves that show.
And it tends to skew older. It's also CBS that tends to skew older. But there's a positive portrayal of religion. You could argue about the violence in this show. Put that aside for a minute.
Yeah,
positive
right.
show of a family and religion being an important point of people's lives. They even talk about religion. Very few shows that do that.
Yeah, right.
So a positive view.
Right.
And of course... in around the world, we have this new pope who is the media darling.
Oh, I know.
And doing a lot of good for Christianity, not just Roman Catholic Christianity.
Absolutely.
For Christianity, breath of fresh air. He's not a liberal by any means, but he's open.
Yeah, that's right.
And he appears approachable.
That's right.
And therefore that makes him attractive. And, it's very difficult without a... he doesn't need a big PR budget because he heads a church of a billion people.
Right.
But for presiding Bishop Liz Eaton from the ELCA, when she was first elected, she did this wonderful interview on Morning Joe on MSNBC and a few others, and she could do really well. I wish we had $5 million to put her out around the country.
Right.
But Islam, while it's growing in this country, is still small.
Right.
And as you well know, Christians and Jews are organized in such a way that no other religion is. So Islam is not organized like the Lutherans or the Reformed Jews conservative Jews in this country. And therefore... there's no spokesperson Islam in this
That's
country.
That's exactly right.
There's no spokesperson for Hinduism in this country.
Yeah, right. So it becomes very hard.
There is a sort of a spokesperson for Baha'i, for example. They're based in Evanston, Illinois, near the beautiful temple there. And there are spokespersons for some of these smaller non-Christian and Jewish faiths. But, generally, and that's where we run into trouble in Islam with an individual imam saying outrageous things and then being portrayed
as the speaker for Islam, right?
But just because it's the same reason, though, you and I and 99% of Christians, 99.99% of Christians don't want that crazy guy in Florida who burned the Koran to represent Christianity either.
Right, that's right.
Even conservative Christians don't, to use a longer term example, the Westboro Baptist who's not Baptist and not Christian by any means.
Right.
And I guess it's just his extended family is all that's left.
Yeah, I think so too, right.
But the point is that they don't why should, I think that's a good, especially for Christians, I think that's a good reality check.
Yeah.
Phelps from Westboro Baptist Church doesn't represent us. Therefore, don't assume that this radical Islam, Imam represents Islam, or fill in the blank with another religion, right?
Well, we love to do that. We love to compare the best of our own tradition against the worst of another religious tradition.
It's very natural human.
Yeah,
it's
right,
very natural human.
It is.
But we need to check ourselves, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We need
right.
to check ourselves on that. And
that's exactly right.
We love the best of our tradition, and we should.
Right.
But we should also remember there is a worst of our tradition.
That's right.
The Lutheran Church was divided over the issue of slavery.
That's right.
Presbyterian Church was divided over the issue of slavery.
That's right.
We can't deny that from our background.
That's right. That's right.
And
I think in recognizing that with the humility, it enables us to come with more openness and
right.
with less fear and also with kind of less of an imperialistic kind of attitude, in a sense that we do have something we can learn, we can trust in God in the process, and we all have things for which we repent, and also then things for which we celebrate and work together.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's the way we need to go in interfaith work. Now, that's to the Christian. If somebody's listening to this and saying, I get you guys, but where can I start? What would you say to someone who's in a small community in central Pennsylvania listening to this podcast?
Yeah. Well, and I think that this would be a good way for us to end. Where I tell you, Eric, you and I, we just, we could do multiple ones. I know. I think I want to say with kind of along the lines where you were just talking about as we sort of look in the places where we are, and making those connections with, who's down the street. The reality of the world we live in is that there are people of different faith traditions all around us. And it is a rare community that isn't within driving distance of a mosque or a synagogue or a temple or, right? And
right.
So, the first thing to do is just kind of, getting to know your neighbor, right? And having those conversations, I think, and inviting people, like you said, to speak for themselves. So to be able to invite them in and have some conversations and think about that, I think that's in some ways the it's both the easiest and the hardest.
The first step is certainly the hardest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when we're used to this homogeneous community.
Right.
It's nothing new to, modern media has made it easier to be homogeneous. But that's nothing new.
Right.
Sunday morning, 11 a.m. is the most segregated hour in the world, probably in North America especially. So that's not new.
Right.
But it's also not new. That's right. I mean, there have been Muslims in this country for 100 years.
Right.
There have been Jews in this country from this very beginning.
Yep.
I was impressed when I had my first tour here in Gettysburg to find that this battle had a Jewish chaplain, even when Jewish chaplains weren't allowed. Because,
that's
of course,
amazing.
The New York regiment brought along their Jewish chaplain.
Oh, how interesting.
They also had a Roman Catholic chaplain when they weren't allowed. That, but we pretend to forget that Roman Catholics were treated as badly as Muslims 100
right.
years ago.
Right,
talk to our neighbors, talk to our coworkers, my experience is, I think yours is, that people of non-Christian faiths, when asked nicely, are interested in telling you about their
absolutely
faith.
Absolutely.
And they're not interested in doing that to proselytize.
That's right.
They're interested in doing it because their faith means something to them, and they would like to know that you know that.
Yep. We all want to be known.
We all want to be known and respected, don't we?
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what it's about, I guess, in an interfaith relationship. That bottom line is respect.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Eric, thank you so much for the conversation. Again, this is Kristen Johnston-Largen with the Seminary Explorers podcast out of Gettysburg Seminary. My guest today has been the Reverend Eric Schaefer, again, former senior vice president with Odyssey Networks and just called to be the senior pastor at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Santa Monica, California. We wish you traveling mercies and hope that you continue to stay a part of our community, even from a distance.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.